Episode 408, February 18th, 2019.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
It's a f***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
It's a special Sunday recording of the Rob and Joe Show. We're over here at Joe's doing our rehearsal for our 90s themed murder mystery, and Joe and I were like, well, why don't we just do the podcast? We've got Eric Woodworth in the building.
Hey, Gramps is going to be not very happy that
we got Oscar barking. It's okay.
Turn up, Oscar. Turn up. He's excited.
Go take care of it. Me and Eric will take care of this.
Yeah.
Go deal with your dog. Right. Katie left.
Yeah, now there's nobody here. This is just the Rob and Eric show.
Oh, finally, we can talk about how much we hate Joe and Katie. Like, it's not going to last, is it?
No, there's no way. I mean, I'm just planning this Cancun trip now as just a trip. It's not even
we're just hanging out.
I'm not even bringing stuff to dress up in anymore.
Have you heard about the strict dress code?
Yeah. I've been trolling Katie a little bit on text and sending her like, and it's not going well ever.
She's not having a sense of humor about it?
No, I said,
I don't think closer. You'll be allowed okay. to, right?
No, I sent her a picture of, are you familiar with Otho from, Beetlejuice? The scene where he is just wearing a completely pastel suit and he's terrified of it.
I believe so.
I sent her that picture. I was like, is this wedding appropriate? And immediately, no, with like lots of exclamation points and shit. It was fun.
Of all the groups of people to have a strict dress code for, we're the worst.
Yeah.
Well, not
yeah.
me as much, but like you and Justin the and only just Robbie could, and it's not good for Katie.
I mean, the only way you could do this is just don't mention there's a dress code because we would have acted appropriately, but now you've opened yourself up to the scrutiny of your dress code.
Well, the problem is that there's multiple problems across the group, right?
Right.
There's people with no fashion sense. There's people who are trying to be hilarious.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. There are people that think that is appropriate for that venue and location. And then Katie, who doesn't want any of that, and she's got to go to each individual group and try to explain. Yeah. Plus, if you just put, proper dress code required, whatever, people aren't going to know that.
I guess I'll return these Jimmy Buffett shoes then.
I think what Eric is saying is that Katie would have been better off just saying, look, guys, don't make it funny. Don't treat it seriously. Dress how you think is appropriate. And then the people would just dress fine. But now that she's made a big deal, Eric wants to spite her.
Well, luckily,
in a jokingly way.
Luckily, Erica Woodworth is not going to allow that.
That's the ace in the hole. Erica Woodworth isn't going to let me show up like a jackass because I will embarrass her.
By the way, I say lucky for me. Like I'll end up in trouble if Eric shows up not dressed appropriately or Robbie or whatever.
Yes. But I think everyone will. Well, the people will just screw up by accident because it's just there's some things you would think would be okay that aren't.
I mean, I'm planning nudity for the reception.
Nice.
That's okay though, right? That's a different ballpark than the vows.
Are you going to be getting hammered, Eric? Like, are you going to do you foresee yourself drunk at the actual wedding ceremony?
Listen, I don't plan on doing something outrageous. I just know when the booze get a flowing and I'm around to some of you guys, I'm probably going to just do something that
yes.
will make, Erica not have sex with me that night.
You want to make us laugh.
Likely.
Eric, you told us that you loved last week's episode of the Rob and Joe Show.
It was actually a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, he never does this, but he texted me to let me know how much he appreciated it. I just want to hear, you know, what was it that you loved so much about it?
A, there was a story about me, so immediately I'm engaged. Then you fucking up the ante with the Chris Restivo bit. I mean, first of all, it was a Chris Restivo episode. You actually called him, got him on the line. That was great. Mm-hmm. And then you talked about the extra topic you talked about was what, the music? Music sucks today? I mean,
And Mike Turpin.
Yeah, yes. And then I sent you one song, and then you didn't listen to it.
I haven't listened to it yet.
It was so good. Have you heard it, Robbie? Have you heard the new Julian Lennon song and the guy Les Claypool?
No.
They have formed a band, and they have a single out that's actually – it sounds like if the Beatles were into Satan. That's the best way to describe it. He sounds just like his dad.
Julian Lennon, the son of John Lennon.
Yes.
The guy who wrote – what was his two songs? One was called Valletta, I think, and the other one was –
about sitting on the pebble by the road.
Can we even hear you, Robbie? I don't know if you're
– I think you can hear me a little.
Robbie is here.
He's very, yes. There he is right there. Low.
I wanted to play because Taylor Jenkins recommended a song, a band for you, Joe.
What are they called?
And can you pull it up on our Robin Joe Facebook? Do you know how to do that?
It'd take too long for Robin to jump in here. What's the name of the band?
I've never heard of them.
Well, I'll give them a listen. I'll also give the song Eric sent to me a listen. Mm-hmm. And listen, the other thing is maybe you guys are like me, but the first time I hear a song, it's difficult to know. A song I usually have to hear three or four times.
You should listen to it several times.
Yeah, and then you decide, okay, well, that's something that, I'll have to listen to it a few times.
But there's like some songs that I hear, like even like there's some popular pop songs that I think are really still awesome. Like,
yeah, that you hear right away, like Docking with My Son.
Docking with My Son, great hit by Jeremy P. Woodworth. no, you know that one song, what is it? Oh, here it goes, feel it in my soul.
Yeah.
So good. Like, I think that's a good pop song.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of good pop songs out.
I listen a lot more than of that.
But the overproduction of it is evident. Like, that whole
that
song
isn't what I was going after. I'm not going after pop music, because pop music, you know, Justin Timberlake sounds like the fucking Jackson 5. Like, it is kind of indistinguishable in terms of what that is from even the 70s to today.
Can I stop? Yeah. We have Eric here, and we shouldn't be talking about this.
This
we have
is
more
true.
Interesting things.
All right.
Let's talk about Chris Restivo's new album.
Well, that's...
yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Chris Restivo has... It's a prank call album.
So first of all, I'm excited that Chris has actually done something and seen it through. This is a thing you can actually buy right now. It's $8.99. I don't know if anybody's going to go and actually purchase this.
Can you download, or do you have to get a physical CD?
I think it's on Bandcamp, so it's just download. And if I look at the name of it, I started listening to it.
You bought it?
No, but there's a preview. You can listen to one of his calls. It's pretty good. And by that, I mean it's classic Restivo. So,
can you add all this in post-production, Robbie?
Maybe. Possibly.
I'm giving Robbie one.
It's called Chris Restivo. You can call on me, and it's a very Chris Restivo illustrations.
You can call on me.
You can call on me.
Can you,
though he's calling people and prank calling.
Can you play one? Can you do that right now? Can you play one for us on your phone?
Let's find it.
Maybe
on
Robbie can put it in.
Let's see if I can pull this up. And it's only pseudo painful to listen to.
By the way, don't you have to get releases from the people that whose voices you're using?
Are you saying that Chris hasn't done all the legal requirements?
I mean, you think Chris is going to get in trouble? What if
can we report him?
That would be a very Robbie thing to do. Okay. No, not. I don't want to. What's he going to do? How much trouble is he going to get in?
They're like federal prison.
Right, look, I got it.
How are you? I need some help. I need a tow very badly. Hello.
What is your location?
I don't know. I'm stuck in the Everglades.
This is a good bit. This is a good bit.
I'm somewhere in the Everglades.
Somewhere? Where?
I'm stuck in the Everglades in Florida.
What accent is he doing?
I am in Sarasota. I am looking for somebody from
Naples. Well, I'm... Hold on. I'm locked.
Anyway.
That's his Indian accent.
In my car, and outside there's four alligators chomping and trying to get in my car.
Yeah, but you need to call somebody in Naples.
Yes, there's a T-Rex
Oh, my God. Oh, this is good.
And there's then there's three more minutes of that in the preview.
How do you follow T-Rex?
Basically, the guy on the other phone, the end of the call, the other line is going, yeah, can you just tell me where you are?
Yeah, he just wants all,
yeah. Yeah, I think we'll all buy that. Sure.
Yeah, I think we should lift him up. I feel like you guys tore Chris down. He was pretty upset.
We
with
should
you
lift
guys.
Him up.
Maybe we should lift him back up.
How cool. much to play one of those tracks at the wedding?
Oh my God. Well, it's like 10 minutes long, right?
Yeah, your first dance. How much does that cost?
You have to check. They have selected for their first dance track number 4 from You Can Call on Me by Chris Restivo.
Chris calls from the Everglades.
Yes. There's a T-Rex and 4 alligators.
I think, first of all, I would do it for nothing. But I'm not the only one. You know what I mean? It's going to be, there's going to be other people who have...
What if the entire time we're sitting down eating, it's just that album is playing?
Yeah. Like I said, I don't have a problem with it. And I know a lot of people at the wedding that would really enjoy that. But, you know, it's really for Katie. I mean,
that's not part of her dream wedding.
She wouldn't do it for 10 grand, right? She wouldn't ruin her wedding for $10,000.
Well, one track wouldn't ruin
not
it.
Not one, but if it was playing through the whole dinner. Yeah.
How much money would it cost for you, Joe, to go back to the hypnotist and then he plays that entire album and tells you this is the greatest comedy ever made?
Wait a minute. I have to go back knowing that he's going to do that. I don't think it's going to work. He couldn't get me to stop eating. He sure as fuck isn't going to get me to believe that to be. It sounds like it's in the vein of the Jerky Boys.
Well,
he's trying to.
But that therapist or that guy, the hypnotist, he's doubled his experience since last time you've seen him. So
that's true.
Should we read the follow-up email from Tom, the owner of Five Plated Coasters?
The guy who owns Five and the creator of the coasters and the owner of Five Plated Coasters.
And Chris wants to fight that guy.
Yes.
Still. And
Chris would lose to that guy. He's 100%. Huge. Yeah. He's a giant guy.
Robbie's leaving us, by the way. So Robbie has to go and go to church or something. So, Rob, I feel like I picked on the kid in high school.
Robbie, beep out that word, by the way.
Yeah. Sorry. It was easy and it was funny. Yes. Please let me bow out of this comedy. I love picking fun, but I feel a little dirty. Sorry. Chris is a little too far gone. I meant this as a stupid little prank. I'd love to hear you guys laugh. Joe laughed hard at my failed jokes. Anyway, Five Plated Coasters, after a limited run, is closing their doors under threat of lawsuit. All 5 of the plants nationwide will shut down. Please look for the rise of 6 Plated Coasters. The extra plate means extra value.
Do you... We just bought some Zima for our 90s murder mystery. Mm-hmm. 5 Plated Coasters is a lot like Zima. You know?
It had a short but
huge
fantastic
exposure,
run.
And now it's just those who had the opportunity to... I own a 5 Plated Coaster.
You do? I just took a new picture, a picture of a new one. Can we get a GoFundMe started to keep 5 Plated Coasters alive?
I'm not doing
a
that.
A petition?
Yes. I mean, we can't afford it to lose another small business. This economy needs small businesses thriving. That's the heartbeat of America, Joe.
Well, I know that we learned today that 5 Plated Clothing, it's only sold 60 t-shirts in its history.
Yes.
I thought he said 46.
He said 60.
Okay.
And I believe that to be a vast exaggeration.
By the way, I'm one of the people who
am I.
So is Rob.
Yeah.
So if he's really, and if we're being honest, he's probably sold 2.
Yeah. We have 2 confirmed buys.
But if we go into extending to family members, or this show has to be responsible for 50% of their sales.
Will he have more t-shirt sales or more prank call album sales?
Oh, wow.
They're both under 10. Eric is going to buy both.
I'm actually on the monthly subscription with them. So they just send me the new t-shirt every month now. It's like Netflix.
If Eric buys are you going to buy it? The prank call CD?
I think I have to at this point.
Yes.
I think
after
this endorsement, yeah. I have to get it, right?
But like, for example, like Tom Myers CDs.
I own all of those.
I know, but you buy them like, ha ha ha, it's funny that I bought them. Mm-hmm. Are you able to sit through them and listen to them?
Can I be honest with you? I've never actually put one in.
That's what I'm
They're
saying.
Just display pieces
It's
downstairs.
Funny to possess it, but the idea of
and
hitting
then what?
Play yeah. and then it going all the way through. That seems arduous.
Well, I'm thinking if I get the actual CD of this, my father-in-law is getting, or my grandfather-in-law is very sick. He's ill, so we're moving stuff, and we're getting stuff from his house, right? Because he's not going to return there.
Yes.
Bedridden, right? So I got a five
CD.
Wow,
way to bring the show down.
I got a five CD changer that for some reason I just accepted to have. And so I was thinking, I was like, I got three Tom Meyer CDs that can go in. I get two Chris Restivo ones, and those are the only things that'll play on that CD.
That's just a readily power available. Five. Let's talk about your podcast, Quality Time, and let's talk about how Joe Robinson loves that podcast, but he hates your brother Jeremy.
No, I don't. I don't hate Jeremy.
He's made it very clear he loves Jeremy.
No, I love Jeremy.
Jeremy thinks that Joe hates him, though.
He does?
For sure.
Well,
yes,
so do I. Yeah. So it's not like it's a weird opinion. Because you say you hate every time he opens his mouth.
No, I first of all, I've never said I hate every time he opens his mouth. I don't.
Think he derails the show constantly with these references?
Well, no, you are mistaking my venom with the venom of Robbie Robinson, the producer of the show, who literally, you know, he doesn't know how to temper anything or find the humor in something that might be happening at the expense even of the show that it's on. Robbie doesn't know how to do that.
But we also paid Jeremy Woolworth to show up for a murder mystery, and he didn't show up. And then another time he showed up right as the show was starting.
That's true, yeah, yeah. No, I hated that. That's true.
Well, Jeremy's scheduling, I've gotten used to it. I tell him what time we're recording, and that means I know he'll be there 2 hours later at the very latest. So.
Well, it isn't that I know not to rely on him.
Gotcha.
Because I remember one time we had to rely on him. And I was terrified. And Eric goes, Eric's like, he'll be there. I'll make sure he's there. And that was the show at Annapolis where we had to have him. If we didn't.
That was Halloween and Eric was being a father.
And so he did show up to that and we squeezed him into Eric's, Spider-Man costume and there was a lot of stress. So I said, never again.
A lot of stress on that goddamn costume too.
That's true. Stress on the zipper, stress on me. But I remember after that, I said, look, it's cool if Jeremy comes as Pogo the Clown at the Halloween show, but I at least have to have the option is that if he doesn't show up, we're not fucked. I can't ever, you know what I mean? It's just, that's not a reasonable thing for me to expect of him. So the thing that annoyed me about Halloween was that he's texting me, he goes, hey man, I'm almost there. Well, the show's getting ready to start. I'm almost like, well, I can't deal with you right now. There's nothing for you to do at this point, right? So what am I responding to you, right? Then he comes in and then he starts applying his clown makeup. The show's happening, right?
Yes. He's not prepared.
He's not a multitasker.
So then he gets out there. He literally does hardly anything because
the idea of a grown man driving down the street, putting on clown makeup, like he's like, I'm in such a rush right now.
Yeah. And if they pull him over, he's getting arrested.
Of
right?
course.
But anyway, then we had to pay him, which
well,
is the other
his
thing
business card also says rape on it. So yes, he's definitely getting arrested.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we paid him anyway, which whatever, you know, but then the idea that I have to worry about trying to coordinate, making him feel okay about getting there, you know, an hour late or whatever, you know, it's just that's, okay. But that, I don't hate Jeremy.
But do you like him?
Yeah. Well, look, I do like, I do like Jeremy.
No, would you go have dinner with him? Just you and
that's
him?
That's the thing. Like,
no,
it would, when him, it's just him and I, it's a little awkward.
Why? If you like someone, you'd have dinner with them.
That's why I don't necessarily, that doesn't mean that it's not awkward. Right? Would you have dinner with Jeremy?
No.
Well, okay. Well, then I like him more than you do. I'm telling you, like Jeremy, if I saw him out, I was like, hey, I'm getting lunch. I would go to lunch with Jeremy. But Jeremy, I never feel like completely at ease in a conversation. We're not just talking about, because what'll happen is you'll be having a conversation and in his mind, he wants to work in some reference that he wants you to know that he has.
Yes.
Right.
And you won't know what it is.
And
you
even
won't...
if I do or don't, it's like, I'm not in a real conversation. Right.
Yeah.
So if he'll actually respond to what I'm saying instead of trying to figure out a way to reference something so I know, hey, that's interesting that you know about that, then I feel like I'm having a real conversation with someone. Does that make sense?
He's a wait to talk kind of guy. He's not very reciprocate what you just said.
Right.
He's just waiting, like, man, I can't tell that wait to talk about Dead Alive when he stops talking.
I went to that Justin, Scott, and Spiegel, their 5-year anniversary show where they did it at this this like Dave and Buster sort of place right by my house in Columbia. They broadcast that morning. So I, you know, it's 2 minutes away. So I went over there And Jeremy was there and, you know, wearing his horse head. And so next thing you know, we're sitting next to each other. Now we're basically talking. We're hanging out. We're at a table together.
Yeah. What did you guys talk about?
He started telling me a story about some movie that he was in, and I had no idea. I never understood a single thing he was talking about.
Do you know Jeremy just went to a premiere of his new movie, like, last weekend?
It's
Killer Clown versus the Candyman, and it is an independent film where he plays John Wayne Gacy, and you get to see him in various stages.
Really? It's an independent film?
Yeah.
I thought MGM had picked it up. Back. That's weird.
He's naked? In this?
Tom Hanks isn't in this?
Oh, man. It's a beautiful thing.
Does he get nude?
He gets down to his underpants more than once in it.
Is it a sexual scene? Or
yeah,
just...
it's a sexual scene with a very young-looking boy who's actually 18 young. In real life.
No, listen to me. I don't know if it was a trailer. I think it was just a clip from it, correct?
Yes.
And it was a clown, which was Jeremy, mm-hmm. at a kid's birthday party. So for this scene, they had about 8 kids there?
Yeah, at least.
So they have 8 kids there, and they're all cheering Jeremy as the clown. Now,
yes,
this goes on way too long, right?
Oh, 100% way too long.
I mean, it's way too long. There's nothing. It doesn't go anywhere. It's just this awkward, too long interaction between him and the kids. And I'm like, who could sit through, I assume, 90 minutes of this?
Yeah, yeah. It's a full feature length film, yeah.
Now, the other thing I want to talk about is I thought of an idea for a sketch that I discussed with Eric.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I came up with it. You might not even remember. Jeremy
Forgotten.
Has a horrible skin condition. Is it just eczema?
Yeah, it's a psoriasis.
Psoriasis.
Full blown.
He has psoriasis. And as a result, he flakes.
Yeah.
It'd be the equivalent of dandruff all over your body.
Yeah,
correct?
He leaves. When he sits a place, you need to vacuum it if he comes over your house. Usually he's at least kind enough if he goes to some place that isn't my home. But if he goes to, like, somebody he actually is not trying to be a dick to, he'll wear long sleeves and try to keep most
of it. Does
he
lotion up in order just to kind of get through
No, he doesn't take care of him. Look at him. He doesn't take care of himself at
all. Does he lotion? Of course not. He has no preventive maintenance.
I'll tell you a story. While he's working at our job, he got complaints about how much flaking he would leave in the work vehicles. So his solution to this, at the end of every day, he would open up the whole cab to the truck he was driving and just get, like, an industrial leaf blower and just blow it all
blow the skin out.
like a big cloud of flesh just coming out.
That's pretty considerate. Is it like the Big Lebowski when they throw Donnie's...
It's 100% like that. Yeah, there's some guy standing over by the warehouse just covered in it.
So the
Robbie hates this episode now.
That's okay.
Joker.
The sketch I was thinking of, I remember when I was a kid, I watched this segment on HBO, and I remember what the show was, where these people who had these skin conditions would get in these pools with these fish. And hundreds and hundreds of fish would come up and eat the skin off these people.
Yeah.
And it would help them.
Yeah,
right,
yeah. I think it's still like a practice. You can go to like high-end salons and stuff and stick your feet in and they'll fucking eat the goop off your feet.
I was thinking that we did this sketch where Jeremy crawls into one of those pools and then like you just like 3 hours go by and then they're like the size of tunas. They're just eating the skin off of them. They've gotten huge.
Yeah.
One has exploded. One you mounted it because it was
so big.
And
then we serve that tuna at the wedding.
And we could even expand on it and talk about all the benefits of psoriasis. You know, like when he's like, eats like an Italian restaurant and then he comes over, he's like, oh, do you need some extra Parmesan? And he just starts like rubbing his arm over top of it.
What does it cost? What would it cost to do a sketch like that? You need about 10 tuna.
Jeremy's already started filming it.
You need too much.
Yeah.
We need more people that would get it. We need more patrons. Before we let you go, Eric, we have this upcoming show at the Crofton Country Club. It's our first time doing a country club. And so I feel like we have to be a little more well-behaved there. So are you concerned, Joe? Because Eric is known to, I don't know, just take food from someone's plate and start eating it, steal their drink, put his ass right in the face of the person in the front row. Do we need to,
set boundaries?
Yes.
And being completely honest, I'm not concerned about that here.
Okay.
You say country club, but you've done comedy at country clubs. They tend to be a little bit wild.
Yeah,
they can be wild.
Yeah. It's kind of a boys' club thing anyway, where you can say, I think, if anything, we can probably be a little bit more.
Well, that's not what I wanted to hear.
Yes, so I remember the great bird night
Oh boy.
He once booked me on a country club show. Mm-hmm. It was up in like Westminster. It was from, we destroyed it. They loved it.
No, I've done comedy the there, and the I better. Was very yeah. filthy, and they loved it, and they heckled Tom Myra, so it's a good audience.
No, they're
but you're not
love
concerned
it.
With no. Eric. Okay.
Eric, go ahead. Tell me, with what?
What getting his
I'm always concerned when he takes a patron's food off their plate that they paid for.
Hey, one thing that I talked about it on the show, and I know you heard it, but there was it during the Christmas murder mystery, you took something off somebody's plate, and I thought you had spilled something. Did that happen?
Yeah, I think I did spill. I actually dropped cheese, I think, on her. Like, I dipped it, and then it got on her purse, and I was like, fuck it. And I was in character. I was just like, fuck this.
It was a Louis
purse.
Vuitton. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Now, purses, that sucks still, but, you know, as long as I was afraid it ruined some cashmere sweater. But
yeah. I think the worst thing I've ever done is when the first time we did the pants rip on the Sing for Your Life, I ripped them off, but it was in front of the mic stand, and it made the mic go flying. It hit some lady in the face.
Yes, I do remember that.
That's the worst I ever felt, because I felt she was legitimately damaged from what I'd done.
There was one. Well, you know, that happened at a hockey game, and as a result, they put nets around the arena for the rest of history.
Are you suggesting? So now Joe wants us to get a tank with nine tuna and Jeremy Wilbur, and we have to have a net that we put in front of all of our stages.
This makes sense. We have to perform like the Blues Brothers.
I also remember you ripping those pants off and you hitting the ceiling. Do you remember that?
Yeah, at the
was
DC
that Rams
Improv.
Head? Oh,
the
DC Improv.
And it was all dusty
it got
up there.
Sometimes I don't know how my old body works. Every once in a while, it just flails
well,
around.
Well, you get into character. And we just had our rehearsal, and you and Tommy are doing a lot of singing numbers in this one. And I got to tell you, it sounded great.
No,
I'm excited.
Sounds-
I thought this whole, first of all, on paper, this Hit Me 90s One More Time is probably the funniest on paper. Like,
which
for the,
scares
for the
me.
There's two things that we do in every single murder mystery that we also use as almost like the height of the laugh before the end of the act, which is Eric taking his clothes off. We do it. The only murder mystery that we didn't do it in was the first.
Which I worked in. So
but then we worked it in later, yes.
Yes, well, I remember that because we were in Richmond and you came out as the waiter, but you were also not wearing any clothes for some reason.
This one, spoiler alert, I actually start off nude and then I slowly get dressed.
Yeah, so check it out. February 27th, the debut, Hit Me 90s One More Time, Ramshead on stage in Annapolis.
I know you're trying to end there, but the other thing we don't do in this, no dance.
Yeah.
It might... But there is a sing-along.
Yeah.
There's a singing dance. It's, you know what?
You think we might have a dance? We might work one in anyway.
Well, the cheesy dances that we do wouldn't work.
You want to do a nice, like, break into electric?
Well, no. I mean, we can't do, we're not going to do a Sublime song and then do our little side-to-side do-si-do. I mean, that would look ridiculous.
I think no matter what we do, that doesn't match any. I guess it matches the very first one we
did. I think it matches it a lot more than this. I don't know. Well, you know what? Who knows what might happen? There might be a dance. There might be nudity. There might be Eric, you know, hitting a microphone in someone's face and stealing their chicken tender and spilling barbecue sauce on their coach purse.
I hope nobody from the country club's listening.
It's going to be a great show. Love you, Crofton. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come right back.
And Mara Reinstein's going to join us.
Thanks, Eric.
Shout out.
Hi, this is radio personality and morning show host Justin Schlegel back to tell you about the newest interactive, hilarious whodunit from Die Laughing Productions, Hit Me 90s One More Time. In this show, I really get to stretch my acting chops. I play a radio personality. Ooh, this time, we're taking you back to the 1990s. You're at a radio station promotional event where listeners battle it out for the hottest concert tickets of the year, Ace of Base. Everything goes smoothly and no one dies. Not... Actually, some unlucky person will not just be losing their religion, but meeting their fate. And top market DJ Slater in the Morning, that's me, must solve the murder. Hit Me 90s One More Time also stars two princes, Mr. Jones and all your favorite Die Laughing Productions comedians, and most importantly, you, the audience. Come celebrate the 90s with us, for all we really want to do is have some fun, jump around, and help you get through this semi-charm kind of life. Don't miss Hit Me 90s One More Time. Eat, drink, laugh, solve a murder.
Debuting February 27th at Ramshead on Stage in Annapolis. Tickets are on sale now. For more information, visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show with Joe Robinson and Rob Mayer.
We're back with my favorite guest, because she talks about the things that, one of the only three things that I want to talk about, right? Movies. Mara Rheinstein. Mara, you're with Us Weekly and Parade Magazine, correct?
Those are both correct.
Now, real quick, I just want to talk about Parade Magazine. Isn't your favorite episode, I mean, your favorite edition when, every year when they talk about how much money people make?
That, I know, that is their, that's definitely their trademark, week. I have nothing to do with that issue, but I remember, I mean, before I started contributing to them, it was always my favorite every year. I loved, I don't know if it made me feel bad about myself or made me feel good about myself, but yeah, I loved reading it either way.
Do you know, we know somebody whose face was on that. We know somebody. I think he kind of misrepresented what he made, but you know, I would never besmirch the credibility of the Great Parade Magazine. I also liked reading that genius lady in the back. What's her name?
I know.
Marilyn Vossavant.
That's it.
Yeah,
highest IQ known to man.
Parade has like a weird cult following, but either you don't know what it is or you read it every Sunday in your newspaper. It's one of those things.
Yeah, all right. So also, I just motioned to Katie. She wanted me to tell you about our new dog.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I was listening and petting our new dog, who happens to be named Oscar.
He's gold. We named him after the statue. Right.
He's a golden dog, and he's beautiful, and he's our life.
That's right. So
I love that.
I wanted to ask you specifically. Now, you love the Oscars. Is it like your Super Bowl?
It is my Super Bowl, and I actually did write the cover story for the parade on the Oscars coming out Sunday. But yeah, I love it.
Awesome.
It is my Super Bowl, absolutely.
Okay, so what is your, do you have like a ritual for every Oscars?
Party?
Every year, do you do a party? Do you stay in? What do you do?
My ritual is that I refuse to go to a party or host a party for the Oscars.
Amazing.
I am like, it is full concentration, full focus. Although this year, weirdly, not weird, but I'm going to be participating in an app where there's a group text amongst like famous Oscar pundits. So
ooh.
People can,
oh, you're going to be working.
Read the group text. Yeah. It's called, oh gosh. Smart Talk, Smart.
You better get it right if you're going to plug.
I'm so bad at plugging. I know.
I'll Google it and find it, and we'll follow along.
This is so not good. I hope you edit this later.
No, Robbie will use it as drops for later episodes. While you're looking, I'm going to.
Yes. It is Good Talk.
Good talk. Okay. You were close. You had talk.
Yeah.
All we had to do was choose from all the other words in the lexicon.
I know, but they literally just asked me to do it a few hours ago, so it's not like it's been on my brain for months.
That's awesome.
But yeah, it's called Good Talk, and they had a bunch of NFL quarterbacks do the group text during the Super Bowl, and now they're going to have a bunch of movie people do it for
I see.
The Oscars, so I'm excited.
It's not a movie-specific app. It has to do with whatever is, I guess, germane to what's going on in the world. Oh, okay, that sounds cool. We'll check that out, definitely. So
I want, for sure.
I want your opinion on, before Katie and I give you ours, what do you think of this year's Oscars? What do you think of the nominees?
You always have a few disappointments, but overall, I thought it was pretty fair in terms of the nominees. No huge shockers.
Really? I think, or maybe it's not necessarily that the wrong movies were picked, although there's a few that I thought were left out, but, you know, I think you and I might agree on some, but maybe because of the scale of them, like Eighth Grade is one I'll use as an example, but not trying to pigeonhole you to talk about that right now, but I just feel like this is such a weak, like whoever wins Best Picture, I mean, is it an all-timer? I mean, you know, what are we going to be like? Oh, is it going to feel like Traffic? When
you mean like Crash?
Crash is what I meant. Yes, Crash. I like Traffic. Sorry, Crash.
Traffic's a great movie. Probably. I mean, that said, as much as I loved Eighth Grade, if it had been in the mix, that won't last the test of time either. It was definitely a weird year. However, if Black Panther wins, I do think that people will remember that it won.
I agree.
It's very rare that
that's a great point. I never even thought about it like that.
Yeah.
But aren't you? Yeah. Well, it's clear, it's not the best picture, though. I hear what you're saying. Maybe there's an importance, like Sidney Poitier or whatever. I get that. But Moonlight's already won.
Right.
Is it the idea that a superhero movie won? Because, I mean, honestly, you look back and you're like, if The Dark Knight isn't going to win a Best Picture, you're going to give it to Black Panther, the ninth best superhero movie?
I agree with you. I didn't think Black Panther was even the best Marvel movie of 2018.
Agreed.
I thought it was good. I didn't think it was amazing. I don't think it deserves Best Picture either, but like I said, you know, it would definitely send a statement because it's a superhero movie that's, you know, culturally rich, made $1 billion, and if it wins Best Picture on top of all that, yeah, it's good. People are going to remember that more than if something like Roma wins,
but we'll see.
I don't think Black Panther's going to win, but we'll see.
You think Into the Spider-Verse is the best Marvel movie this year, I assume?
No, I didn't like that movie. I liked,
you didn't?
I liked Infinity War. Yeah,
so
no,
I liked, you didn't like Into the
like Spider-Verse.
You didn't like Into the Spider-Verse?
That was okay. I thought it was like very inside baseball for Spider-Man fans. I think, you know, for a casual fan, it was a lot to process. But it was fine.
We talked about this before. Yeah, I always look to kind of affirm myself by looking to see if you liked it or not. And we might have talked about this the last time, but now it's reached a fever pitch. So I know you gave Bohemian Rhapsody a pass, but it seemed very lukewarm because I think you agree based on reading your review. It was fine. You know, it was fine. It was not. But now,
no wait, I like Bohemian Rhapsody. It's so funny. I actually just rewatched it today. It's like a movie that is not very good, but very watchable to me.
Like Crocodile Dundee.
Because I think what really helps Bohemian Rhapsody, two big important components. A, the lead performance by Rami Malek is going to win Best Actor. And two, all that great music. Mm-hmm. So between the performance and the music, it's enough to kind of keep me watching it. But the movie itself is fine. It's not a biopic for
it's not Best Picture, is what you're saying. It shouldn't be on the list of the Best Pictures of the year, right?
You know, you just made a comment where it's the music plus the performance, but if you put it up against A Star Is Born, I mean, obviously, Queen music is obviously better than anything in A Star Is Born. But, I mean, I thought I enjoyed A Star Is Born so much more than I enjoyed Bohemian Rhapsody.
Well, I think you did too, right, Mara?
No, actually, I enjoyed Bohemian Rhapsody more than A Star Is Born.
Wow.
I loved the first part. I loved moments in A Star Is Born. Like, I love the moment when they sing Shallow. Of course.
Right.
But I find watching A Star Is Born kind of hard to keep rewatching it. Like, I always want to kind of, like, fast forward through that second half.
Well, who asked you to rewatch it?
I just want to give her a look at you.
All that stuff with Dave Chappelle and the brother, it just, like, weighs the movie down to me. Like, it's just, it's kind of hit and miss, that movie, just like Bohemian Rhapsody is. But
what's funny,
a choice between the two, I would watch Bohemian Rhapsody over.
Yeah, I guess because you get to hear, you know, you get to hear Bohemian Rhapsody versus Shallow. But look, I hear what you're saying. I thought that the first half, maybe the first hour of A Star Is Born, I thought it was it's the best thing I saw all year, the first hour, right? So you're right. There's some schmaltz in that. But what they do in the second half of A Star Is Born, and by the way, I'd never seen the other Star Is Born, so what happened at the end, I wasn't ready for. So it was kind of powerful to me, which it might not have been for you, right? So that, obviously that made a difference. But Bohemian Rhapsody, there's some things I just can't, it's very derivative, I'm sure you agree, but one of the things is, here this guy is, he eventually will be arguably the greatest rock vocalist of all time, okay? We don't learn anything about how we don't see anything about his voice up until he walks into the alley of a group that just lost their lead singer and just starts singing, and then he gets it. That seems strange, right?
He also comes from this, you know, super conservative.
Right, different culture.
Yeah, different culture. And you don't get to learn anything about this person. You don't get to really learn anything. Everyone's heard, you know, the stories about Queen. I want to know what happened. I want to know how he became this guy who can sing, I don't know,
better than anybody, right?
Yeah,
what happened?
I'm going to say something. I mean, this is my opinion. I know you, I don't want to say you're wrong, but I don't think that would be a good movie, what you describe, in the sense that like, do you really want to see him sharpen his voice with his family?
No, but you want an origin story.
Right.
Okay. I hear what you're saying, but because it came out of nowhere, that made it seem false.
Well, that's why documentaries are so popular, because you get to see the full, from the very beginning, how it's made, the whole process, and then the outcome.
Or an origin story for a superhero,
I just kind of felt like it started halfway through the movie, like there's a prequel somewhere. But, I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe I'm asking for something I might not even like.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, though. I've said in a few interviews that what they really need now is a documentary on him. It's sort of like the B-side of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
To complement it, because I do think you're making a good point. But again, I don't think that's a movie that people really want to see. They, like, you know, a lot of parents took their kids to see Bohemian Rhapsody because it's such a crowd pleaser and it's so rousing. And I think there's something to that.
Yeah. Most of the people that I know liked it.
I agree.
They also don't look at movies as discerningly as you and I do, so, and Katie, so that's
right.
You like it. You enjoy it. That's a better way to say it. You enjoy it. So I get that.
Right.
I get that.
Not a fantastic piece of filmmaking. Don't get me wrong. It's not. It's really flawed. I think what it has going for it, which A Star Is Born doesn't, is that it gets better, and A Star Is Born gets worse.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
It does.
Right? And Bohemian Rhapsody ends on that, like, amazing Live Aid performance of, like, Rami Malek just strutting that stage. And, like, you walk out of that theater being like, wow. And you kind of sort of forget that the movie was, like, very hot and cold. Star Is Born, like I said, it kind of goes down the slide, and then you have to see Bradley Cooper hang himself. And the dog outside the garage and Lady Gaga, like, getting all, it's just like,
hey, spoiler alert.
I don't know.
Well, being said, I guess you don't believe Bradley Cooper should have been nominated for Best Director, or maybe you think that's a snub. I don't know.
Yeah. What are your snubs too, after you respond to that?
I thought it was a snub, actually. I thought for sure he was on my list. I thought he would get nominated. But I guess I was okay that he didn't, because the directors who did, Adam McKay for Vice, I wouldn't have put him in the mix.
Yeah.
I thought Vice was a lot more problematic than A Star Is Born.
Yeah, we agree. We thought Vice was fine.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you who I thought my biggest snub was, and I'm interested in your thoughts. And we saw this movie a little late, but Katie and I watched Leave No Trace about a month ago. And man, I was just blown away by, what's her name? Thomasin McKenzie. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
I'm interested in what you thought about that performance.
Yeah, it's weird. A lot of the Sundance movies from 2018 really didn't show up on the radar at all in the Academy Awards. I mean, Eighth Grade and Sorry to Bother You and Leave No Trace and You Were Never Really Here. The Mr. Rogers documentary, all those movies got really snubbed by the Oscars. It's odd that they didn't go that direction at all. But I agree, Leave No Trace is a wonderful movie.
Well, but and I also liked it a lot. I was kind of moved by that. And the fact that I was thinking about it maybe a couple days later is, you know, it affected me. But that performance, I thought, was the best performance of the year. And of course, with Elsie Fisher and then Charlize Theron and Tully, I thought, other than Olivia Colman, I thought those were the best performances I saw. And, you know, I didn't even kind of see, like, Charlize Theron, which is weird because she's a super A-lister and she gave this outstanding performance. And I didn't even see her even kind of being considered for a nomination. Like, when I was looking at who they thought would get nominated, she was way down in the also-rans.
Well, a couple things. First, also a movie that premiered at Sundance. Second of all, it premiered in April. It was in theaters in April, so that's a long time ago. Third of all, she was nominated for a Golden Globe, but I do think that timing was a problem. I agree. I think if Tully were released in November, she would have gotten that nomination. I thought Charlize Theron was really, especially after seeing the movie as a whole, because there's kind of a twist in it, that it was one of her best performances, and very like brutally funny, and she gained the weight, which they like. And yeah, it was disappointing that she was ignored.
Do you think that the Academy hates Robert Redford? Do you think that's the problem here?
Robert Redford for Sundance? No, of course not. They gave him an Oscar for Ordinary People.
But that was a long time ago. I think they don't like him anymore.
Why would they like him, Robbie?
No. They gave him an honorary Oscar.
He's royalty, right. That's crazy.
15 years ago.
Yeah, that's insane, Robbie. What are you
calling? I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay, so.
There's no way that's true. There's no way. I don't know what it is, but that's not it.
So now that it's February 2019, what are the movies that you're most looking forward to this year?
Hey, let me interrupt real quick. Last time, I think you gave us Boy Erased last time, and we loved Boy Erased. And then the time before that,
you
gave us Molly's Game. So you haven't missed yet.
Yeah.
Every time you've given us one, it's been great.
I love Molly's Game, yeah. Too. I love that. Can't believe she wasn't nominated for an Oscar.
I know.
She's awesome.
That's another movie that I can, if it's on, I can just stop at any point and watch the entire movie. Yeah.
Me too. It's so watchable. I would say the number one movie I'm looking forward to in 2019 is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the Quentin Tarantino movie.
Oh, wow.
With Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, my God.
I'm very excited by that one.
You know, it's funny because I didn't like, what was it called? The Great Eight, the Fantastic Nine or whatever.
Yeah.
Did you like
the Hateful Eight?
Yeah, that was it. Did you enjoy that?
I didn't. I thought that was my least favorite Tarantino movie.
Yeah.
It was least off favorite. The heels of Inglorious Bastards and Django Unchained.
I was like, tired. Give him a break.
Yeah, you can throw a clunker in there. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to Fighting With My Family. Have you seen that yet?
Yeah, I did see it. It's good. It's kind of like your standard sports movie, underdog movie, but it's very enjoyable. Definitely recommend it.
So, what movies most let you down in 2018? One that you couldn't wait to see, and then it was a turd.
Oh my gosh, I gotta think that 2018 was so long ago.
Well, let me give you mine. And this is, I think, this is the greatest delta between the trailer and then what the movie was. The Mule.
Okay.
Man, did they fool us with The Mule?
I never saw it. They didn't show it to critics, so I never saw The Mule.
You're lucky.
Yeah, they did you a favor.
You didn't miss anything.
Wow, that's too bad.
So I have a question about...
Oh, hold on. Did you have a movie that you... I'm sorry, were you going to answer that other question?
I know. I was going to say... oh, God. I was really disappointed by Vox Lux, that Natalie Portman movie with Jude Law.
It got bad reviews, right? We have a rule where we don't see a movie if it's not
80% or higher.
80% or higher. We won't see it if it's not.
Oh, man, that's what the studios want you to say. they really pay attention to that score. Boxx got, I think it's got pretty decent reviews, actually, but I thought it was just so pretentious.
Yeah.
Such a slog. I really couldn't stand it.
How does it work with, like, the movies?
And then Welcome to Marwen. What?
Oh, you thought
God.
That was going to be good?
Oh,
man, when I saw that trailer, I'm like, this is going to be the worst thing ever.
Maybe. Robert Zemeckis has directed
Back to the Future.
Yeah, we know. Believe me.
Robbie's favorite movie is Back to the Future.
You know, I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt to an extent, but this was just, like, an off-the-chart terrible movie.
Sorry you had to experience that.
Yeah, those two movies.
Robert Zemeckis needs to reunite with Bob Gale and make a good movie again.
I agree with you.
All right, so I'm gonna let you go after this. We saw your tweet regarding the Michael Jackson documentary. Now, my question is going to be a little loaded. So we do a murder mystery here. Rob and I are comics, and Katie does it with us as well. And we've been to the Middle East with this, and we were in Vegas in November. So it's really gaining some traction. However, one of our murder mysteries, with which we have nine, is a Michael Jackson murder mystery. And we're in fear that after this documentary airs, we'll never be able to do that murder mystery again. Am I right about that?
You are correct. I would say that Michael Jackson, I mean, the reaction from once this Michael Jackson documentary hits HBO, I think everyone's going to have to seriously rethink their fandom for Michael Jackson.
What is one word to describe your feeling after the movie?
Horrified.
It was. That's, yeah. Yeah, and it's weird because, like, right now, you know, you can't see a episode of The Cosby Show. There are, I know we talk about, we talk about, I guess, how power can corrupt you, but the good news is that they, if you, if somebody becomes so corrupt, the power, it supersedes the power. And so I think we're getting to a, we'll probably be in a point in a few, maybe a few weeks even now that they just stopped playing Michael Jackson on the radio.
Yeah, I think that, you don't think so. Because there's a lot of people that are in support of him still and saying that, you know, this guy, I don't know much about the documentary, but there's obviously this guy.
Well, people that want to believe.
Right, that they want to believe. But you know what? There's a lot of those Cosby supporters, too. So I don't
Macaulay
know.
Didn't Macaulay Culkin just recently come out and defend him?
Yeah, but...
Well, you can't have...
I don't know. I mean, I can't speak for Macaulay Culkin, but all I can say is that after watching the 4 hours of this, I had zero doubt that Michael Jackson committed a crime. I'm really convinced of it. It just...
But didn't we all
there's
kind
so
of...
so much evidence.
Didn't we all kind of know this?
That is a strange thing, because normally there's rumors that you can kind of get past, but the rumor of being a pedophile, you figure, hey, the court of public opinion, that's something that's a no-go zone, but that's not true, because Michael Jackson has gotten a pass with these rumors swirling for, you know, decades, even after his death.
It has to do with the level of talent we're talking about.
Yeah, of course, you know? But I, then again, at the same time, I don't know, I think Kevin Spacey is one of the most talented actors in the last however many years, but
his career's over.
His career's over. Yeah. My problem is really more of myself in that, like, yeah, I was pretty certain that he was a pedophile before, but I still enjoyed his music. So now I'm like, now that I think someone's going to put it in front of my face.
You can't get
past
it. And
give me the details of it. I'm not going to get past it.
I'm with you. I mean, I love Michael Jackson's music. And I sort of wrote off his behavior as just sort of eccentric and sort of, you know, he had a troubled childhood and okay, he's not like you and me. But then after watching it, I kind of just had, I actually had a stomachache watching it. It was just so horrifying. And just the thought that like this was all happening when I really, really got into his music in the late 80s and this was going out behind the scenes. I was just like, oh my God, how can I listen to these songs again? Knowing what he was doing to these kids and destroying these families. And I understand the defenders and I understand that he was found not guilty, but like in the documentary, they show footage of the jurors who gave him the not guilty. And one woman blatantly says, like, oh, I didn't like that the prosecutor snapped his fingers at me. It's like, don't snap your fingers at me. And that's why she gave him a not guilty.
Nothing
it's
to do like, with so, the actual evidence.
Yeah.
Well, that has to matter. Like, when there's all this footage and there's these details. And, I mean, it's a lot different than it just being rumored that he could have possibly, potentially been a pedophile.
Did you give it, I guess you something that powerful, you gave it a pass? You gave it a good review?
Well, I actually didn't review it because I kind of did a post about like the most shocking revelations. I mean, listen, the documentary is not perfect. Like, I definitely think the writer and director should have talked to more people in Michael Jackson's circle to sort of fill it out. But in terms of, you know, letting the story breathe and hearing how these two guys were affected and the ripple effects, that I, you know, thought that in that sense that it's definitely a must-see. If you're a Michael Jackson fan, even if you're a fan, like actually a fan, you have to watch it. You just have to know the whole story.
Yeah.
These people who are attacking me on Twitter, blindly loyal to him, I just want to feel like you have to watch it and then talk to me.
Yeah, that's fair, but I don't think you can feel the same way given your career. But I think about movies like Leaving Las Vegas, right? I'm like, wow, that was really powerful.
Right.
And then but I just feel so shitty afterwards. Like, you know, do I want to experience that? And I guess the whole idea is, well, you see horror movies, you want to emote, and that's what makes movies great. But every once in a while, a movie will come across like Requiem for a Dream. You're like, I'm only going to watch that once. I'm not going to watch that thing again because.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And if
I
know.
There's a lot of movies like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you know ahead of time, it sounds like something I probably don't want to see.
Wait, there's a difference. This is a documentary and information is power. And I do think that you really should watch it just to have all the information.
All right, I'll do it.
Yeah. A fictional movie is not the same.
Well, yeah, I mean, how many people are watching The Keepers twice?
Well, a fictional movie is, there's nothing at stake. That's the thing. So you're right. By the way, I know you're right. It doesn't mean that I don't want to feel the way I know this movie is going to make me feel, but I will watch it, but I'm already skeeved out, if that makes sense.
Watch it in small doses. It's 4 hours. You don't have to watch it in one sitting like I did.
I'll watch it over the course of a month.
Yeah.
Hey, Mara, thanks. Yeah. I love having you on. We love talking movies, and I really, really appreciate you doing this show.
Anytime, you guys.
Thanks
so much.
All
right, thanks, Mara. Have a good night.
Right. You too.
See
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. All right, we'll be right back.
Gramps here again, reminding all of you who haven't joined Patreon to get on the stick. Every week, you enjoy the upgraded Sonic experience listening to Rob and Joe's free shows. Well, that sound equipment doesn't come cheap. So loosen your grip on that fiver. Join the circle of trust. Hear all of the behind-the-scenes mischief and celebrity gossip. Hear Joe discuss being sued by... Hear Robbie detail his affair with... And hear all about how Rob blew... to do a 7-minute set at the Comedy Cellar. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show now, or I'm going to come over to your house and your wife.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Rob and Joe Show, welcome back. I'm back now after that fabulous interview with Joe, Katie, and Mara.
By the way, as we're doing this, I don't know what we talked about. But my plan is, and when we go back and maybe I did something, is I'm going to be critical of her about some of the movies that she liked.
For example?
Well, Bohemian Rhapsody is going to be one of the big ones. So I'm going to... Because her and I, we have similar tastes. We both also thought, at one point, the best movie of the year is Eighth Grade. I've since changed my mind to A Star is Born.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, maybe I talked about that too, but I am going to want, I'm interested into, cause she liked Bohemian Rhapsody. I just think it's just such a bad movie for somebody. If you're not a movie goer, yeah, it's enjoyable, but if you're a movie goer and you see movies regularly and that you see that product.
I feel like everything you're saying now, you just said in this interview.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll say it again to close the show.
That'll be hilarious. So Valentine's Day, we had our huge sold out show at Magoobies. A long show due to various reasons. But we added, cause not normally, but sometimes during our long intermission where people are trying to figure out who the killer is, we add a little extra thing. Like for Christmas, we have people come on stage and sit on Eric's lap. He plays Santa, tell them what they want for Christmas. We've had for the 80s one, people come on stage with their 80s outfit and explain it. Same with Halloween, their Halloween costume, do a little contest. So we decided, for this show to have Eric play like a love doctor. I found an old robe of mine lying around. He put that on, no shirt.
I like that you had a robe.
Yeah, it worked. It really tied the outfit together.
Do you ever wear a robe? But just real quick.
No. I like the idea of a robe, but then I bought that robe. But that robe, it's like 15 years old, and it's been sitting in a drawer.
Every time I wear a robe, I'm like, God, I'd rather be, especially if I'm not like wearing anything underneath, I'm never comfortable. I'd rather be sitting around in sweats or whatever than wearing a robe.
Sweats or a t-shirt or pajamas, bottoms and a t-shirt.
You know who wears a robe?
Katie.
Robbie.
He does seem like a robe guy.
He's a robe guy, yeah. Hugh Hefner. He's a Hugh Hefner of this show.
So... we had people come on stage and ask love and sex questions. And I mean, it was going okay, I guess. But there was a girl at the end that came on and she was pretty drunk. She knocked over my beer and she said that her ex texted her at 3 a.m. by accident, if I believe was the story. And she wanted to know what to do about it. So we said, let's call him. Now, I made the mistake of calling him on my phone. He didn't answer, but we left a voicemail. And basically the voicemail was, you know, we're all banging your ex and she's doing so much better without you and you're a loser. Anyway, we hang up. So I get a text right after that from that guy. Who is this? I just blocked the number. This is Thursday. Then Friday night, I'm driving home from my gig, doesn't matter where, but I forget that Prince Frederick, Maryland, even know where that is. So, I get a phone call, Annapolis number. I answer it. Some guy's yelling. I mean, I can't understand what he's saying. I hang up. 10 minutes later, call again. I'm like, what is this? So I just, I block the number. Then I get another call. I don't answer it. It's a voicemail. Fuck you. Another phone number.
Oh, it's this guy.
It's another phone number. I block that one. Then I'm right about to fall asleep. It's 2:30 in the morning. My phone is ringing. It's another call. I think.
You don't want to pick up and be like, dude, listen, I'm a comic. We were just calling from stage. I don't know you. Relax. Right. You know what I mean? I'll never call you again.
So I think when he texted me originally and said, who is this? I should have just explained right then. But I blocked it right away, but thinking it would.
I mean, you're clearly. Well, by the way,
I don't know this woman.
Well, clearly we don't know the woman. You don't know the guy, but what would he be mad about? It's his ex and there's a crowd of people saying they're
yeah,
banging.
I don't know.
Clearly he can't think it's real.
Well,
because he's probably just like a bro, right? You know, somebody who's like, if you challenge me in
yes,
some way.
Yes, that's the vibe I was getting from the phone calls. Yes.
So, yeah, I would literally go, like, dude, listen to me. I don't know who you are. I'm a comic, you know, and see if you can't talk him down. You think he's done?
Well, this was.
He's running out of phones.
This is now Sunday, so I didn't have any calls Saturday. So I'm assuming that he was drunk Friday night with some friends and like, what happened last night? You can't believe it. Let's call that motherfucker. And they all were calling. They're probably moved on. They're probably bored at this point.
Hey, well, luckily, if we were recording this with Robbie, we could call the guy right now on the air.
Yeah.
Robbie would love that.
Oh, God. Yeah, I think it's better that we just move on.
Nope. Now, what are the chances? I thought about this. The guy, if I have this correct, the guy said, hey, let's hook up or something like that. And then she responded and he said, oh, I meant to send that to somebody else.
Yeah.
Do you think he really meant to send it to somebody else, or that was his kind of, let me protect myself in case this isn't well received?
No, I think it was 3 a.m. He's probably drunk, so it could have been an easy mistake.
I don't think so, because it's not an easy mistake to text somebody. Look, if one girl's name is Jane and one girl's name is Janet, then yes, I see that. So, or if you had just had another text open, I sent a text to Marianne about Marianne that I meant for you.
Yes.
Sorry, Marianne Sirk, who's in the murder mystery. She's on
98. Killed it, by the way, Thursday.
Yeah, great job. So that made sense because I just had it open. Mm-hmm. I asked her a question, and then her response lent itself to a text to you. But if it's an ex, how long has it been since you've talked to this person? That sounds purposeful to me. And there's also motive for it to be purposeful because maybe he wants to fuck his ex, which people do.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe he was drunk and he texted her. And the next, she might have been asleep the next day. She was like, what's this about? And he didn't want to admit that he wanted to get back with her. So he just said it was an accident.
I swear, if right now, if I was gambling, knowing only what I know, the girl's version of this story, and that's it, my guess is that it was intentional.
Well, maybe when he calls me for the 9th time on a different number, I'll answer and talk to him. Well, in that, you've seen Making a Murderer.
I have. So, I didn't watch the whole second one.
Well, so the new lawyer, I follow her on Twitter, Catherine or Kathleen.
The one who seems
Zellner.
The one who seems better than the first lawyer.
Yeah, she's amazing. So apparently one of the lawyers, or not lawyers, but somebody that works for the prosecution.
Gotcha.
Wisconsin, accidentally called and left a voicemail on her phone about some pelvic bone they think they might have found about whether we should. What we should do with it. And so basically evidence that they might have done something wrong. He accidentally calls Avery's attorney and tells her this.
That's a huge deal because you have to disclose all your
right.
all your evidence. And if he's leaving a message indicating that they aren't disclosing, is he out of jail, by the way?
No,
he's not.
So my question is, did he accidentally do that or is this him leaking information?
Well, if he does that, he's culpable because he's basically saying, should I do something that I know is against the law? I can't imagine he would, right? Tell me why. What's his motive other than I want justice to be served? But if you want justice to be served, you wouldn't leak it to implicate yourself.
Maybe he could lose his job. He's worried about rocking the boat.
I understand that. But if you're a lawyer and there is proof that you are asking whether or not you should suppress evidence. Because clearly, it's like saying, hey, should I kill this guy? Well, no, you're not allowed to kill
somebody. He was basically asking, do we look in this, evidence bag to see if, because we're not sure what might be there. sort of implying that this bone that
right.
should have been evidence or something is literally still sitting in this evidence room when, according to the state, all that stuff is no longer around or doesn't even exist.
I see. Well, what you're saying, I can't imagine somebody would do that on purpose unless they never planned on being a lawyer again.
Well, it seems like you say texting is bad, but calling a number and then leaving a voicemail?
You're right. That seems
a lot harder
to do.
Well,
it depends. If it's like, hey, this is Rob Mayer, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's hard. But if it's like, you've reached 427-55, you know, if that's it, that's a whole different animal, right? If you reach a voicemail that doesn't say who it is.
What do you think her voicemail would be?
I would imagine she has her own voicemail, yeah. but also because of this, because she has some celebrity,
mm-hmm.
maybe she doesn't want people to be, that makes more sense. Cause if you have the level of celebrity that she has now, there are people that are probably trying to reach her.
So it's not her work number. It's a private, her cell phone, which she might not have her name. Yes.
Maybe, yes. And the work phone might have just an answering service, but that would definitely, right. there's no way an office phone wouldn't have that, but I'll bet her personal cell.
Let's get her on the show, Robbie.
Yeah, I'm sure he's right on that.
So I go Valentine's Day card shopping, and you know, we've talked about how Christmas, her birthday was 2 weeks ago, Tawana's. I got nothing left, but somehow this tradition started where we get, it's three cards we give each other. So then the question is, obviously with three cards, one is going to be funny and one will be romantic. But what is the third?
Right. What is it, a tweener?
I went too funny. So, but I'm looking at them and there's me and another woman and we're just staring forever. And there's this card and it's titled, the title of the category is romantic and funny. And the card is, sometimes I just want to karate kick you to the face, but I love you. So I even take a picture of this and I posted it. But I was like, that doesn't seem romantic or funny to me.
To beat a woman.
Right. And the woman goes, that's exactly what I'm looking for. Snark. Perfect for my husband. And she grabs it and leaves. So I'm like, okay, I guess I was wrong.
But it is a lot different if a female gives that to a male.
Yes.
Right. Then if you're yes. like, hey, I'd like to abuse
karate
you.
Karate kick you to the face. Yes. Yeah.
I would like to domestically abuse you.
But it's romantic and funny. Not for him, for her. It didn't say for who, for anybody.
So, of course, I mentioned last week the card I got. Mm-hmm. It was the dinosaur with the short arms. And I talked about it, and then that's the same card I handed her. The card that I talked about on the show, I handed her. I got her a dozen roses from Target.
Nice.
$19.99. I gave her that card, and then there's something that she can't buy that I'm allowed to buy that I said I would buy for her, and then I never ended up doing that. I was going to take her to dinner at Tagliata's, which is one of the restaurants that she wrote down, hey, I want to go to this.
Yeah.
And then she's the one who decided, no, let's not do that. Oh, and then we went to a restaurant, and the restaurant was so crowded that the people, you can't really see this, but their table was 6 inches from ours.
I hate that.
So we're literally sitting with her. There's no... So as soon as I pull up, I go, well, this is awkward. Like as soon as I said it, right? So now I was in a place where I was very talkative.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe I was affected by something and it made me extremely talkative. And I realized halfway through, like I'm talking way too much, right? The girl, the lady who was probably in between, she's probably in her mid 30s is my guess. I think that's how old this couple was. Although their kids were, their oldest kid was 5. Mm-hmm. I think I got it right. I think she's in her mid 30s. And she was telling a story about when she went to, it was like the Super Bowl parade or something like that, because they were from Philly, something like, or the Phillies, something about that, where you couldn't park anywhere, so she had to hitchhike. And then the guy goes, I had to hitchhike too. I go, well, I bet it's a lot easier for her to get a ride than you. And I go, gosh, because she's a hot chick. And I said that out loud, right? Because I didn't know if they understood. And then I'm like, I probably shouldn't call this guy's wife a hot chick, right? I probably shouldn't have done that. I meant it as a compliment.
Right. How was it received?
It wasn't received oddly, right? But then I made another mistake, right? I said, where are your kids? She said, they're with the babysitter. I said, good for you. Because a lot of people now, they have difficulty because they only have these handful of people that they trust to watch their kids. So people just sit at home with their kids till they're like 9 or 10 years old now. That's a real thing. A lot of people do that. These overprotective parents
yeah.
that aren't willing to let anybody else watch their kids. And then I planted a seed in her head that, you know, a lot of people, they would not do what you've done because they're fear they're going to kill their kids or rape them or whatever. And so that's the second thing I've done. But I also get a good
vibe.
They
get the check immediately and leave.
No, that's the thing. Usually I get a vibe like, oh, shit, I shouldn't have said that. So let me dial it back. But they were still engaging in conversation with us and initiating conversation. I didn't say anything else that was bad, although I realized I never stopped talking. Like, they never even, I don't even know if they got to say a word.
Do you think they enjoyed the evening?
I can't imagine.
Or they thought you were overbearing.
Of course they thought I was overbearing.
Was Katie uncomfortable?
Katie kept kicking me under the table. You know, I'm like, stop kicking me. I can't. I can try to dial it back slowly, but if I just stop talking, it's going to get awkward, right?
It sounded like you just did the worst thing you could do.
Well, the other thing is, like, I go to the lady. I go, you look like Juliette Lewis. And they're like,
sexy.
She's like, who's Juliette Lewis? I go, she is in a lot of great movies. She played that special needs girl in The Other Sister.
Is that a Gramps line?
She was a little kid that got abused by Max Cady and Cape Fear. And I'm going to Natural Born Killers. And I'm like, no, but she's good looking, right? I said, I know she's good looking because.
From Dusk Till Dawn?
She used to date Brad Pitt.
Yes.
So if you date Brad Pitt, you're good looking, right? So. But anyway, yeah, that maybe I did stick my foot in a little bit, but whatever. I mean, I'll probably never see him again, I don't think.
Well, I got Tawanda Sherry's Berries and a onesie.
You did?
Yeah, she wanted a onesie.
Like, so, to go to bed in?
Just to lie around in. Yeah, I guess she could sleep in it, but it seems a little warm for that.
It's not that. It's when you have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, no, she wouldn't wear it to bed. She'll just wear it, like, lying around on the couch.
Even lying around on the couch. If you have to get him to go to the bathroom, you got to take all your clothes off.
That's her problem.
All right. But she wanted it.
Yes.
Did she ask you for it, or did you hear it and know, oh, that's, I'm going to do that?
She said, I want a onesie. Then I went on my phone. I was going to get her something else. Amazon.com app, bought a onesie. Boom. Easy. I was like, good. I don't have to leave the house. And then she got me three cards. And then I was thinking about this on stage. I actually talked about this last night. Cards are expensive now.
Yeah. It depends. Sometimes they're covered in, like, plastic and shit. Yeah. You know, yeah.
Like, that's like $25. I could have got a real gift with that amount of money.
Cards are such horseshit. I also don't like Valentine's Day. It's a pain in the ass for me because Katie's birthday is is 9 days.
Yeah, I have 12 days difference.
9 days later. So I'm like, fuck. So people are downstairs going, Katie, what are you doing for your birthday? I don't fucking know what I'm doing for a birthday. It's 6 days away. I have to plan something or arrange something, but it's also not a
mile. What's the date?
It's the 23rd, so it's a weekend, so it's cool, and all of her family's going to want to do something. But it isn't that I'm going to do something nice. But the real thing is that people are exposing me. Like, what are you going to do? And she doesn't know because I don't know. But she doesn't know I don't know. She could think I had plans until then I'm forced to say what we're doing, which right now I don't know what the hell we're doing.
Well, it's a Saturday night, so it's a prime.
It should be easy, but
we'll just take her to one of those restaurants.
No, I got to get her something for her birthday.
Well, obviously. Have you done Pandora yet? I finally did that for Christmas. Huge hit.
Pandora's is good because then you always know what to get them.
Absolutely.
But I don't know that she likes that.
She doesn't wear bracelets?
It's not that she doesn't wear bracelets. I'm not sure she loves Pandora bracelets.
Okay.
So I'm not sure that that would work for her. But, you know, also she has expensive tastes and I don't know. Like, I don't want to guess wrong.
Want to get her like a spa treatment.
Yeah, she likes that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that feels like a cop-out.
Get her a whole pamper package.
Mm-hmm.
Get her some nice socks. Get her some sort of oils.
Socks and oils and a spa treatment.
And, I don't know, something. Do you buy her any clothes?
No, I don't. I don't buy her clothes.
Are you afraid to buy her clothes?
Yes, I wouldn't know what to fucking get her. You know, hey, she was showing me this outfit the other day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that looks good, right? She goes, no, Joe, this is for the 90s. It was her fucking 90s outfit. It was like this fucking romper with a white shirt. And it was like a sundress of some kind. Anyway, I'm like, oh, all right, okay,
that's
cool.
Her costume.
Not that hat. Clearly, I knew that hat she was wearing. But I didn't know. I'm like, oh, fuck. Then, you know.
Maybe you shouldn't buy her any clothes.
Yeah, but I don't want her to think that, you know, like, I'm willing to do that. It's like, what the fuck? I can't do that.
What about some electronic item?
That's a guy thing, right? You know, guys like that. So women like jewelry, which I'm not comfortable knowing what I should get her, and women like clothing, which I'm not comfortable knowing what I should get her. So if I get her electronics, that's something that I would like.
Yeah.
If I get her, like, tickets to go see a show, that's something that I would like. Like, I'm getting her
what
something.
What if it's tickets to some sort of, like, Broadway kind of thing?
That's a good idea.
Not necessarily Broadway, but like a...
That's a lot.
No, like something local in Baltimore.
No,
or
I know. You know what? As soon as the show is over,
look it up.
I think Wicked is coming to...
Tawana and I went to that. She loved it.
You know, maybe that's what I'll do. Yeah. And then this might come out. I doubt she'll listen to this because it'll be...
She would love that.
All right, that's what I'm, as soon as we're done here, I'm going to go buy tickets to see for her to see that.
Boom.
If they're on sale. If not, let me tell you what I did for Christmas.
You're going to go to the, what's the thing you went to the lecture on instead of the actual show?
Jordan Peterson. Oh, yeah, no. The ballet. So,
Jordan Peterson.
We did go see Jordan Peterson, as you well know.
Wow, lucky girl.
So for Christmas, I got her a dresser, but really it was a promise of a dresser because, you know, I'm like, hey, our dresser is broken in there.
Yeah.
I go, any dresser you want. It can be from fucking Crate and Barrel, Pottery Barn. It can be from the most expensive place you want to get it at fucking Ollie's Bargain Bin. We'll go there too. Whatever. Here you go. She hasn't picked one out yet. Then I just told you for Valentine's, they gave her the promise of something else.
Yes.
She can't get.
She needs a tangible item.
She doesn't. We haven't gotten it yet. So if I, you know, the idea of getting her, what did you just say? Because I can't get her the promise of something.
Wicked.
Because what if the tickets aren't on sale yet?
Yeah.
Then I have to give her the third fucking voucher.
You have
in
to
a row.
Hand her something.
Yeah, I've been.
You know what I would do? I would find some dressers and say, I like these. I would get the ball rolling on that. Be proactive.
So I can do that, but she's going to be like, no.
It's the idea that you are starting the conversation, searching for.
As soon as we're done here, I'm going to go online, try to buy tickets to Wicked, then I'm going to send her some links to some dressers.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Hey, if you're listening, the 27th. So there will be one more Rob and Joe show between now and then, right?
No, I think we're off next week.
Okay, we're off next week. So this is the last Rob and Joe show before our show at the Annapolis Rams Head.
And at Crofton Country Club.
Oh, yeah. Those tickets are open to the public. So
yeah.
If you're in Annapolis and you want to see the debut of Back to the 90s, which we just did a rehearsal for today, and it was hysterical.
Going to be awesome.
It is going to be awesome. Or if you want to see Back to the 80s, is that right?
That's true. Pick a decade.
So you can literally see both decades going back in time from the 27th to the 2nd in like a 15-mile radius.
Yeah, how about that? Mm-hmm. Thank you to Mara Reinstein. Thank you to Eric Wobert for sitting in. Thank you. You heard Oscar on the show earlier barking.
God, man. Oscar, yeah. I remember I used to brag about him not barking. Now he won't stop. But a bunch of people left in his defense, just in case. J.L. Covan, who posted a picture of his dog shitting in the kitchen the other day, and I didn't say a word, which I felt like going, my dog would never do that, but I didn't. I didn't say it. I just let it go.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
See ya.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.